Luke chapter number 2. Amen. I'm going to preach here tonight about an amazing story.
Yes,
amen.
It is.
Oh, come on.
Yes, it is.
Amazing story. That's my title here. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to start off with the first 5 verses. And then, amen, I'll read some more after that. But I'd like to start with the first 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus here at this time was a wicked man.
Amen.
He was a simple man. And I tell you, God can use sinners to get his will accomplished, can he?
Yeah.
Yes, he can.
Amen. And so he put it on Caesar Augustus's heart to tax the world here. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
Yeah.
And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Amen. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. So he had to go back to Bethlehem, the city of David.
Yes, amen.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Amen. That's a good starting place. I'll get a lot of the rest of this here in a little bit. Amen. But I told you I'm going to preach on an amazing story. Hallelujah.
Come on,
man. Amen. I read where a man by the name of Cornwall years ago, amen, was talking to some visitors in his part of England, and one of his words of wisdom that he wanted to tell this visitor, he was pointing along the way, and he said, right along this trail came Wesley 100 years ago. This country's never been the same since. Amen.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. I'd like to tell you here tonight, amen, along this country about 2,000 years ago came a baby named Jesus. Things ain't never been the same since. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Woo! We would all have to admit that Christmas has been ruined and perverted by an unbelieving world. Brother Tommy brought that out so well this morning. And it seems that it's been praise has been given way to a party. Amen. And a savior has been given way to a Santa. Glory has been exchanged for gifts. Amen. And bows have been exchanged for bows. Amen. But I'd like to remind us right here today that Christmas season is a whole lot more than boxes, bows, and ribbons.
Right.
Amen.
It's
more than trees and tinsels and lights. Praise God. It's certainly more than reindeers, rooftops, and ho-ho-hos. Amen. Praise God. And I like to tell you, over 2,000 years ago, it wasn't Santa that came to town. It was Jesus.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Amen. It's been a rough place to hang around today, Brother Tommy. Amen. But I'm so glad, amen, and it overjoys my heart just to believe, amen, as we said this morning, that a God thought so much about us that he sent his only son. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And that is an amazing story. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you another amazing story. It happened on January the 12th, 2007, about 12 years ago. Amen. A young man by the name of Joshua Bell entered a subway station in Washington, D.C. He was dressed in a long sleeve t-shirt and jeans, and he found a nice place and took out his violin from its case. And then he placed the case on the ground in front of him so that those who passed by might throw in a donation if they wished. And for the next 45 minutes, Joshua Bell played his violin. Over 1,000 people passed by as Joshua played. Most of them did not even pay any attention at all to this renowned violinist. Most of them were too busy going here, going there to even notice this man playing the violin. After he had finished playing, Joshua had collected about $32 from 27 people who stopped by long enough to pitch a little donation into the violin case. Not too bad, amen, for just 45 minutes of work, right? Amen, wrong. Joshua Bell is actually a world-renowned violinist who just 3 days before this date played to a sold-out crowd in the Boston Symphony Hall. And the price of the minimum ticket to get into that place was $100. And that place was packed with thousands that came to listen to this world-renowned violinist play. Amen. And that's not all of the story. The violin that he used to play at this subway station just along the wall was a Gibson Strata something, however you say that. Yeah. And that violin was worth $3.5 million. Amen. And while that Washington, D.C. subway station had one of the world's best musicians, amen, it had one of the world's best violins, and the best violin player playing the best violin, nobody had time to stop by and say there's something special about this music, amen. People just kept going. They just kept going about their busy life, and nobody stopped, amen, to pay any attention to one of the few events that they'll ever happen again in their life, to hear a world-renowned violinist play. I forget the name of the song, but it was very popular. People would pay thousands of dollars to hear this man play this song. Amen. But the simple story is people were just too busy to realize what was going on. Amen. And I wonder in Jesus' time, about 2,000 years ago, heaven gave all of its best, and the best left earth, which was worth way more than $3.5 million. It wasn't the best violinist, but it was the best all of heaven and earth had to offer. And Jesus left the portals of glory, and he came down to earth while men just hustled and bustled about. And the very first night that he showed up, amen, the people put the sign out by the door and said, there's no room. Hallelujah. Hey, I'd like to tell you here tonight, that's still what they're saying. There's still signs. Amen. As was said this morning, Brother Tom or Tommy One, the Democratic Party has already said, there's no room for God on our platform. Our courtrooms have tried to push him out. But I come to tell us, we better take attention. We better salute the Most High King, the Most High God. He came down. Why did he come? He came to give his life a ransom for all the sins of humanity. And we better take time to pay attention. Hey, God, I told you I'm going to preach on you. Hey, man, oh, an amazing story. Hallelujah. Hey, God, Caesar Augustus issued a decree for the taxing. Amen. Not as lucky as a coincidence, as some may think, but God used this wicked man to pass this decree. Great God, why? Because Joseph was down in a place called Nazareth. Amen. And while Nathanael was down there, Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Anybody in their right mind wouldn't load their expected wife up. Great God, amen, and take her 80 to 90 mile treacherous journey up and down them roads to Bethlehem to go out of town. But God had a way to get his son from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Why? Because Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2, Micah prophesied and said, O thou Bethlehem, out of thee, amen, shall produce the root out of a dry ground. Hallelujah. And his name shall be Jesus. Micah prophesied it. Amen. The Old Testament portrayed it that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. If he had been born in Nazareth, it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have been our Savior. If it had been born anywhere in the world besides Bethlehem, this gospel story wouldn't be worth holding in your hand. But thank God, Micah 700 years before the birth of Christ said, get ready, world. In 700 years, amen, a star is going to shine, and it's going to come out of Bethlehem. And God's only son is going to be born in the city of David. Woo, praise God. Oh, yes. amen, down there. And that's the providential decree that was given out, amen. The problem, amen, the prophet said that the Messiah must come to Bethlehem. Oh, yes, and God had a way of getting him there. Oh, next, amen, in the same chapter, verses 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Hallelujah. Oh, look at this place of birth. I don't know about you. I haven't had 5 kids, but I've been a part of it. Amen. A lot of times when a guy says that, people give them slack over it. Amen. As old Joseph, anybody in a right mind wouldn't load their wife up 9 months expecting. Hey, God. I know when Weston was born, Michelle was 9 months. Her due date was October 31st, Halloween night, amen. And I was scheduled to preach for David Miller on his fall, the thing that he has every year. And it was October 31st. And Michelle, she wore me out over that. Are you going to preach that? Are you going to preach that? And I said, we'll worry about that when it comes. Hey, about a week or two before it ever happened, I prayed and I said, Lord, I got to know whether I'm going to go up there or tell them I can't come so they can get somebody. And the Lord, I was praying, hey man, the Lord didn't tell me if I was going or wasn't going, but he gave me a message to preach. Hallelujah. Hey man, God's got a way of doing things, don't he, praise God? I mean, that message got to yearning and got to burning in my heart. And Michelle said, what are you going to do? I said, you can stay home. I'm going to preach. I got a message in my heart. She said, what are you going to do if I go to the hospital and have a baby while you're in Cincinnati? You better not come back, amen. And I said, don't worry about it. If the Lord gave me a message, he'll make a way, amen. She's not going to help it anyway. She always goes over a new date, amen. Hey, God in heaven. She didn't have that baby for another 2 or 3 days. I knew I was in good shape. Hey, but I come to tell us, amen, God said, Joseph, amen, you got to get down to Bethlehem. Amen. I've got a baby that needs to be born according to the scripture. Amen. So they get down there, and the first sign, amen, people coming, hundreds, possibly thousands. Yeah. Amen, coming to this little town of Bethlehem to go pay taxes.
Yeah.
Hey God, to go pay their yearly taxes. Amen. Well, I read someplace this happened about every 14 years. Amen. So this will happen. This was the 14th year. Hey God. But anyway, amen. So it comes in. All these people are packing in this little town, and Joseph's going from place to place. Where am I going to put my wife up? She might have a child, amen. Just any time she's about to have a child. What am I going to do? We don't have no place for her, sir. We don't have no place. And I thought about them 5 children that I've had. I tell you what we did. We shipped into a nice hospital. Had nice nurses. Nice doctors that knew what they was doing, Brother Earl. And when they had that baby, anytime we ever had a baby, the room packs out. You can't get in there. Not only is there nurses to take care of Michelle, not only is there doctors to take care of that baby, but there's extra nurses come in to specially attend to that child. And when that child's born, they put that ointment in its eyes to keep that infection out. They do all the things they do. And I've always noticed this. I've loved this. They wrap that baby up. Amen. At least on the first several. Now they give it straight to mom. It's a new thing they do. But they used to wrap that baby up, put it down in that incubator with that hot heat coming down, and I put my hand over that and feel that heat coming out of there and think, oh, that baby's good and taken care of. But not on this night. There was no room in the inn, and they said, we got some barn stalls in the back where the animals are kept. Maybe you can find a place out there. And oh, I can see Joseph as he's worried like any father would be. What am I going to do if she has a baby tonight? And they go out there and maybe they puff up some hay. And Mary grabs her stomach and says, oh, Joseph, it's about to happen. And in the backside of a barn stall, God's son was born into this world. And God, and the Bible said that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Hey, anybody know what that means? That means bandages. Hey, God, that means strips of clothing that in this time they wrapped the dead in. Jesus' birth, amen, started off with the sign of his death. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and they laid him in a manger. Hey, God, can anybody shout? Hey, hallelujah, in this house tonight. Why? Because the bread of life that came from God was come down and put in a feed trough. I said the very bread that came from heaven was laid in a manger.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
There was no room. John 1:1-11 said, and Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not.
That's right.
Woo!
Right.
That's they didn't have room for him. Thank God when he was born, they didn't have room for him. In his early ministry, there was no room for Jesus. But thank God for verse number 12. But as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. I don't know about you, but thank God I believed on him. I said, thank God I believed on him. Woo! He came to die for you and I.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. What's the purpose of his birth? Brother Tommy, get me John 19:37. Woo! Amen. We'll talk about the purpose, amen, of his birth. Brother Tom Perry, go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Amen. Get us that one. Hallelujah. I tell you the purpose of his birth, amen, was the salvation of the soul.
That's it.
Amen. Jesus was a baby that was born to die.
Right.
Hallelujah. Tell us, Brother Tommy, what John 19:37 says.
And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus.
Amen. Woo! Why was he born? He was born to die.
Yes, yes.
And they looked upon him.
Hallelujah.
I thought about that centurion when it got dark. And they cast lots upon him.
Yeah.
The garments that Jesus wore, and darkness struck while God shut the lights off while they couldn't sit there and gawk at his son. And God turned the lights off.
Oh, come on.
Woo! Amen. Amen. And that centurion, Bible said, cried out and said, surely this is the Son of God. I come to tell you, he was born that he might die. Amen.
Yes,
woo! He had been the expectation of mankind since the fall of the garden. Tell us, Brother Tom, Genesis 3:15, what it said.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Amen. God said there's going to be enmity. Amen. Since there was sin entered into the world, there was enmity between the devil and the woman. In other words, between devil and us, flesh. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Flesh and bone. And God said there'll be enmity. Hey, ever since that time, get ready to finish that up. But ever since that time, there had to be a remedy in the making. Ever since that time, God had to have a way to reach man back to him.
Yes, yes. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Amen. Every lamb, every ram, every goat, every sacrifice from the Old Testament all the way down to this night that I'm preaching about right here, it all pointed to this birth of this little baby named Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, God, they had been sacrificed down through the ages, and it all was pointing to a special birth. Amen. This birth that I'm preaching about tonight is why Noah built an ark. This birth is why Abraham built an altar. This birth is why Moses built a tabernacle. This birth is why Solomon built a temple. I said this birth is why God built a Calvary. Man fell, and man was in a disgraced state. We fell from grace, and God said, before the foundation of the world, he was a lamb slain. He had to come so that he could die for the sins of all of humanity.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This was a powerful display. Great God, and there were, verse number 8, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Yeah. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. Yeah. Amen. Them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Yeah.
And suddenly there was with the angel, woo! Get this right here.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, man, these old shepherds are out in the field. What was the shepherds doing? Well, first off, they were considered dirty old, smelly old guys that was out there in the field keeping the shepherds and keeping the sheep. Amen. Hey, God, nobody in town really ran out to shake a shepherd's hand. What was their job? Why was they there? They were watching, especially probably these shepherds. There was a special flock that was kept outside the doors there, the temple in Bethlehem. Amen. Just out in the fields. What did they do? They had to keep spotless lambs.